Good morning, Josh. Good morning, church. Hey. Hey, I'm going to open up the service with a couple passages here. One's from Isaiah.
Oh, they're both from Isaiah.
Pay attention, my people. Listen to me, nations. Revelation flows from me. My decisions light up the world. My deliverance arrives on the run. My salvation right on time. I will bring justice to the people. Even faraway islands will look to me and take hope in my saving power. Look up at the skies and ponder the earth under your feet. The skies will fade out like smoke. The earth will wear away like work pants. And the people will die off like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My setting things right will never be obsolete. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger bringing good news, breaking the news that all's well. How often do we hear that today? All's well. Proclaiming good times, announcing salvation, telling Zion, your God reigns. Voices listen, your scouts are shouting, thunderclap shouts, shouting in joyful unison. They see with their own eyes God coming back to Zion. Break into song.
I love that word in it. It kind of goes along. I've been reading little Romans, Corinthians, all of those. And it says, the Spirit gives life to our physical bodies and we're true joys. And I'm reading about Peter and Paul and these guys, and they never got old. They never got complacent in the gifts that they've been given, you know? They remained joyful. They remained grateful. They remained thankful. They remained in a place of lifting up God and recognizing and realizing what they've been given. And so this morning, you know, if you need to just take a second and get into a headspace and think about the gift that we've been given, this gift of life, this gift of abundance, this gift of joy and peace and all of the good things, and then lift him up for those things and glorify him for those things this morning. It's so good, and he is so good, and he's so good this morning.
opens up to tithes and offerings now. If we could leave this up here throughout the worship service. We've got a basket up here in the front. There's boxes on the wall in the back. You can give online, akbridgeofhope.com. I just wanted to read a scripture for our tithe. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night will not cease. From the beginning of the word, the concept of sowing and reaping was established. So when we sow, we enter into covenant relationship with our Creator, with the Creator of the universe. I wasn't really positive on how to explain covenant, so I got a definition here. A covenant is a binding and solemn agreement between two or more individuals to do something or to fulfill certain promises. In a covenant, there are responsibilities for both sides of an agreement to fulfill. When a covenant is respected by each party involved and remains faithful to their responsibilities in the covenant, all enjoy the benefits of what covenant provides. So also in the scripture it says that God will rebuke the devourer who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. When we enter into this covenant when we sow, and we can speak to those things that try to take from our lives, from our finances, from our health, when we enter into that covenant relationship. And you can say, I'm in a covenant relationship with God, and He's not backing out of His end of the covenant. He is not. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for being our covenant provider, our protector. We thank You, Father, that You rebuke the devourer. We thank You, Father, that You provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank You that You gave us covenant before we even started. That You put Yourself in before even we had a chance to even. And so we just thank You for that. Come on up, guys, and stand up. We're just going to continue to praise Him and worship Him.
We need Your help. Come help us.
I'm drinking to the night. Going up to the sky.
Great. Be in this joy-filled place, because what you did to us is full of joy for us. Ben, can we do communion?
My paper's full. You're in for it. So last week we dove into Joshua 1, talking about the promises that God made to Joshua and the people of Israel. Everywhere your foot treads is yours. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. When I was a kid, 7 or 8 years ago, we lived in a really old house in Denver. It was 100 years old back in the 60s, so it was pretty old. But had a real tall staircase that went up to the second floor, and it was pretty narrow. And as you went up the stairs, behind you, probably 8 feet in the air, was a ledge. And I don't know what used to be there or what they put there or what it was for, but it was behind your head as you were walking upstairs about halfway up. And my dad would pick me up and stick me up on that thing just to turn me into the ADD freak I am. And then he would walk away. And little kids like, come on, Dad, hear me. And then, you know, he would not come pick me up. He would stand that far away and go jump. And I'd try and get over to the edge and climb down. He's like, nope. You walk away. Pretty soon, he's like, you need to jump. I will not drop you. I will not let you fall. And until you believe that, you never want to leave this goofy place that may be dangerous, but you're stuck there because you're unwilling to step out, right? So we talked about promises last week. And Zach gave us 4 points to remember. Stand on the promises was the first one. Step into purpose. Stay on the path. And seek the presence. Now, of those four, only one is unchangeable. Because there may be a moment where I'm looking around for the presence, wondering where is God in this moment. And it may make me question, am I on the right path? Or question my purpose. But his promises are true. Nothing can affect them. I may not have faith in him as I properly should, but nothing can change his faithfulness. So there's, I don't know, depending on who's doing the counting, there's like 7,000. Some people say 30,000, but 7,000 seems a good number in the middle. Promises from God to us in Scripture. So I picked 6,000, and I figured I'd read them to you. Proverbs 1, come listen to my counsel, and I will share my heart with you and make you wise. James 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously, and it will be given to you. John 14, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. And then also in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You understand this is a promise, right? We talked about covenant. That's the meaning of covenant. We've got this book we hold in our hand, and it is covenant, right? The old covenant, which was, here's the laws to live up to, and then the one who made covenant with us said, you know, you're never going to you're never going to uphold your end of the bargain. But because I love you more than life, I'm going to make a way for you to be holy. I'm going to fulfill that law for you and give you a new covenant, which is my spirit written in your heart. Right? Where was I? Philippians 4. The peace of God which surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor in spirit, they will see God. That's a promise. Are we standing on that? Isaiah 43. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's amazing. 1 Peter 1, you have an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. John 1, to those who have received him, he has given the right to be called the sons of God. Isaiah 40, he gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. Hope in the Lord, and you will soar on wings like eagles. Isaiah 41, do not fear him. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen and uphold you with my righteous right arm. Ezekiel 36. I will put my spirit in you and empower you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my laws and do them. Joshua 1. That's where we read. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and have good success. Lamentations 3, the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Isaiah 44, I will pour water on thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on my offspring and my blessings on your descendants. Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 5, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Isaiah 54, though the mountains be shaken and the hills removed, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace removed. Deuteronomy 7, Your God is faithful and keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love and obey him. 2 Thessalonians, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you from the evil one. You just read that, didn't you? That's crazy. And then we get to why we're here. What you got in your hand. Hebrews chapter 9, the blood of Christ will purify your conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your house. Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John 3:16, we all know it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John 8, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Ephesians 1, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Romans 8, just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Acts 13, everyone who believes in him is made right in God's sight, something the law could not do. Romans 10, for God's will was to be for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, one time for all. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. That's encouraging. Colossians 1, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. 2 Peter chapter 1 has a verse in it that's been beating me up for a little while. With grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What's the purpose of these promises? To get us to be like his son. Partakers seems like a word that we equate to snacking off the table, right? I'm going to go partake of whatever's sitting on the table. But when you're talking about a divine nature, that means exhibiting the characteristics of a divine nature. That's what I want to be. That's who I want to reflect. What if you knew that every one of those promises was going to come true? We're in Joshua, right? If you jump to the end of the book, one of my favorite verses, Joshua 23. Joshua is an old man. He's gathered all the leaders of Israel together after they have gone into the promised land, after they have defeated all the parasites and run them all out of the land, and they are now in the land flowing of milk and honey. He says this to them: you know in all your heart and all your soul that not one thing that the Lord has spoken has failed. Every word has come to pass. We have to live in the realization that we will be saying that one day soon. If it's not happening, the word is yet. It has not happened yet. His word will not return to him void. His promises will never fail. His faithfulness cannot fade. He is who he is, and his word is true. And he says, I am redeemed with the blood of his son. I am now adopted. I am his child. There is an inheritance reserved in heaven for me. It is without doubt, without controversy, without argument. His word cannot fail. Father, thank you so much for who you are, for your faithfulness that goes beyond our understanding, your mercy that is new for today. Thank you for your mercy to me. It's because of your mercy that I am not consumed, that I am able to stand in your presence, washed by the blood of your Son, healed by your stripes, dressed in a holy robe of spotless white because of what your Son wore for me. I thank you. I worship you. I honor you. You alone are worthy.
borrowed Ben's notes because I didn't catch the reference, but he read a verse and I instantly got this picture, and it was so comforting, nostalgic to me, but let's see if anyone else feels it as well. For God's will was that for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. I don't know if anyone in here has ever seen any of the Three Musketeers iterations or read some Alexander Dumas, but there's a theme, I think, throughout all of them: all for one and one for all. And whenever Ben read that, I saw Jesus as the one and we're the all and vice versa. And I was like, wow, I never saw myself on the same plane with Jesus, and we're all fighting together and we're all for each other. Thank you for sharing those promises, Ben. Do you have some announcements for us, Marita?
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good to have you here today. What a great time of worship. Thank you, worship team. Wow, I feel so encouraged, full of hope, full of promises. And I have my boots that I'm going to stand on those promises. Yeah, those were good. Mamas of Hope is coming up Tuesday night. It'll be right here in the auditorium, 6 p.m. So it's a good time for all the mamas, old and young, and future mamas, just women to get together. So Tuesday, 6 p.m. Also, just a reminder, we have two meal trains rolling. If you are able to help, chug, 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 jump on the trains, okay? Robin and Brandon Eccles, she's on bed rest until March, I think. Yeah. So, anyway, at this point, they could really use some meals. So, if you're willing to help out there, and also Caleb and Natalie had their baby girl. She's right back there, if you haven't met her yet. And if you'd like to help them with meals. So get on our website or our Facebook page. There's a link. It's really easy to click onto the link and help out. If you have any problems, you can contact me, and I can help you with that. So, Dan, please.
How many of you have been to the Weekend to Remember Marriage Life Conference? That's one, two, not too many, three. Fantastic. It's coming up again at the Marriott on the 8th, 9th, and 10th of April. And right now, until the 4th or the 24th of this month, you can go for half the price. They have a 50% off sale. So if you're single and you're thinking about maybe you'd like to get married, great way to go. You get you prepped. We know a couple of young men who had nobody in mind, but they went. And within a year, they found a lovely lady to marry and got married. Just really cool. And same thing with young ladies. It really, really sets you on the right path for marriage. And my wife and I found it to be one of the best investments you can make in time and money for your marriage. We like to go as often as we can just for a tune-up. It's just well worthwhile. So I just want to encourage you to consider that. You can go to, you can click in Google Weekend Remember or Family Life, and you can get to their website, and you can see. And what I would recommend or encourage you to do is, if you might possibly think about going in the future, go ahead and get the 50% off deal right now. And you don't have to go now. You can go to one of the conferences in Lower 48 if you want, or whenever. You know, it doesn't expire. Used to expire, but doesn't expire anymore. So well worth the investment. So I encourage you to do that. And if you do, help my wife and I out. Use our group code, DL Kirka, and gives us brownie points to be able to get free conference registration for other people we know. And right now, we know two couples. We've invited them to church here before. That boy, they got some really rough, rocky marriage going on right now. And they both have kids, and so we're praying for them, and we're going to try to assist them in going to the conference by probably taking care of their kids or something like that. So, highly recommend you consider it and take a look at the website.
Sweet, thanks. All right. right, so looks like the kids are going down with Sandra, and in a couple minutes, Zach's going to give us a word. Multiple words. Ha ha.